They told me I'm allowed to have water because I'm the speaker. My name is Peter. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Faith will be alive and sober, and had a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. A sacred place for me, always has been, and God willing, it'll always be. God separated me from alcohol June 23rd, 1988. And I'm very grateful for this. So are a lot of other people who knew me when I was drinking. My home group is also a group called Way Out Group. We meet in Staten Island Sunday nights at 6:45. A place called Traditions House, located at Mount Loretta. And it'd be great for some of you guys to come down there. We are a meeting that focuses on a solution. And a lot of people in Staten Island do not like us until they hit a bottom and then they come looking for us. There's a meeting in Union, New Jersey that just started. It's about 8 weeks old in its infancy called the Vision for You group. Same format as a Way Out group and disturbing a lot of people in the town of Union because we are a group that talks about the book and the solution. So that's Thursday nights at 7:15 over at Townley Presbyterian Church, and we invite you there also. And the Al-Anon members who are here tonight, we invite all of you to our meetings also. So pretty neat stuff and pretty neat stuff to be excited about. People are on this path, commencing shoulder to shoulder and walking with a big book on with the facts and passing this message on to others who care to have it. And I'm real clear on a few other things, too, that although I love to be around meetings where the solution is talked about and amends are talked about and inventory is talked about and working with others and how to hook a drunk is always talked about, I'm real clear on getting to places, what we call the sordid spots in Alcoholics Anonymous, and getting to places where if you talk about the book, you better be ready for an awful lot of resistance. Where people are dying in Alcoholics Anonymous, and we visit those places, the don't drink and go to meetings places, where the steps are just not talked about, and God forbid you mention God. And I go there not to disturb anyone, but maybe someone's desperately seeking a solution and is not getting one. And we only know what we know, and some people who are doing that deal works for them, but that's all they know. And a lot of us fall by the wayside, get drunk, and then die, and wondering what happened. I know for me, just to backtrack a half a sec here, I was in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time, and very loving people told me, kid, you got to really want this. Just don't drink. Kind of like that Nancy Reagan deal, just say no. You know? Just don't drink no matter what. Think the drink through and put the plug in the jug and meeting makers make it. And I got drunk on all of that. And I tried therapy. I tried going to people of various faiths. And I kept getting drunk. And as you know, I'm an alcoholic. I know that. And I go to AA meetings and they tell me the solution is put the plug in the jug and meeting makers make it. I'm getting drunk. And I remember one day, you know, kind of slumped by the car saying, well, what do I do now? Because I went to all these places, including Alcoholics Anonymous, where they told me to go to in rehab. And that doesn't even work for me because I'm not like those people. Apparently everyone's just putting the plug in the jug and living a life of bliss. And I'm the guy on page 21, the real alcoholic, and, you know, if the plug was in a jug, it was coming out quickly when I showed up. And I had no clue where I would wind up. Many times I would hear people talk about, well, when I drank, this was what was going to happen to me. And I subscribed to that for a long time, and then I realized I have no clue what's going to happen to me once I pick up a drink. I just don't, once I start drinking. I don't know when the stopping's going to show up. I don't know if a jail cell is going to show up. I'm capable of anything. That's why such profound words came to me in my seventh step the second time through the work, as Father saved me from me. So I'm very grateful for meetings and people who are doing this deal like you guys. What a treat to be a part of this for the last, I think it's 8 or 9 weeks I've been here. And I don't know how long God's going to keep me here, but keep doing this deal. But we visit those sordid spots. And I encourage any of us who are doing this to visit those sordid spots. Because like me, I'm sure you will find someone dying. And you show up and they say, never heard this before. Many of our members don't even know about the doctor's opinion or the foreword or the preface or a vision for you or any of this stuff. Inventory, you know, write an autobiography, Don't forget to include the good things you did. Those things aren't getting me drunk. You know, so it's really neat that we can visit those spots and all those rehabs and institutions and show up on with the facts. So I feel very blessed to have this gift of sobriety and be brought to a place called Recovered, which we're going to see tonight on page 85. Just to backtrack, before we get into step 10, a couple of things on step 9 that I wanted to go over. One of the things I have found is as we make amends and they go away, we show up to our list with maybe 50 or 60 amends or 20 amends, and little by slowly we start to make those amends and show up to each amends with a spirit of willingness and continue to make them. The amount of power that we are integrated with is incredible. That power moves us through 10 and 11 and moves us into working with others. And then when it's time to go back to the work, takes us back into the work again for our first step considerations, our second step considerations, our third step considerations, inventory, who to sit with, personal persons in 5, etc. But the amount of power we get by as we clean up amends, it's kind of watching like one of those hot air balloons. As you drop off a weight, it soars. It's exactly what happens to us. We get freer and freer. We soar. We become integrated with this power. And freer and freer and freer. My sponsor has told me so many times, I go to the ocean with a thimble. I'm coming home with a thimble full of water. And God is constantly giving and creating. How free do I want to be? And unfortunately, we don't hear enough about making amends, willingness to make amends in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because what comes to us, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, what comes to us as we clean up the past is we've entered to a place called the world of the spirit, a completely a new dimension. We get this vital sixth sense that we've never had before. And we go from a place of known to a place of unknown, uncharted waters, but free. World of the spirit. You want to hear a meeting, get quiet right away? Throw out a topic. Let's talk about what it's like to live in world of the spirit. How often can we do that? How often do we hear that? We talk about inventory, but we don't often talk about entering the world of the spirit. With our ninth step, there's many ways we can do this. Index cards, we get our list and we create this list on index cards of the person we want to see, the harm caused, what we think the amends owe to them, where to get in touch with them. I've done that. We create a new list on a book, take the names, the people from our fourth step, write out where we can locate them, harms caused, etc., on a new list. I've done that. The people who you just use that work right out of their fourth step and put check marks and locations and harms caused right attached right to their fourth step. I haven't done that, but I have made amends, and I really don't think those people care if you show up with an index card or a list, nor does God. The thing is, are we making amends? Are we showing up with a spirit of willingness to go see these people? Really important here. Rather than I'm not going or I don't want to go. I'm so attached to the outcome, I'm struck with fear and I don't go anywhere and I never turn to my God. Last week we left off and we were talking about gossip. And one of the things I wanted to just touch on a little bit further was that and accept when to do so would injure them or others. And I had shared a story when I was going through the work for the first time. This gentleman I saw that I had slandered, and I cleaned it up with the people I slandered to and showed up to him. And the timing for this amends was perfect. It was God's time. And the reply he gave me was something like, Pete, you couldn't have shown up at a better time to tell me this. And he explained the reasons why. But I want to be really clear. I had a spirit of willingness. There were people that I've done that with, and I didn't approach because it would cause more harm than good. And in seeking counsel with my sponsor and in going into prayer meditation, it was pretty clear to me, made very clear to me that if I knock on their door and share these things with them, it would do more harm than good. So what I can tell you now going through the work the third time, I do not like to be a part of any kind of gossip. And it goes around. I'm in circles. people start to get slandered, I remove myself from that and make it really clear how I feel about that. Maybe it can help them wake up a little bit. And that was done for me through some very difficult times of getting involved with that chatter that goes on about people in Alcoholics Anonymous, people out there, people at home. Very easy to get caught up in that. Part of this stuff is, except when to do so would injure them or others, I had lots of people on that list. By me showing up would cause more harm than good. And I certainly had no right to drag anyone through the mud again. And by seeking counsel and sitting with my sponsor in counsel and then going into prayer and meditation, asking God for the right thought or action, I'm certainly willing to do this. If you see fit, I'm not balking at this amends at all. What do I do? And many of them, it was made clear to me by knocking on a door or even writing a letter, at this time was going to cause a whole lot more harm. And I had no right to do that, to get another 9-step notch on my belt and go to my home group and say, you know, I finished up my amends, and cause a lot of harm in so doing, or implicating other people along the way. This work is about seeking counsel in my 9-step. It's about turning to God for guidance and direction, for strength and direction to go and do His bidding. And the timing will be perfect, and I'll be told when to and when not to. The key here is, am I showing up to this work with a spirit of willingness? I had two gentlemen call me today about visiting a woman they knew from the past, both in committed relationships, and so were these women. And we talked at length about that. And they were not clear on the ramifications of maybe going and knock on a door and what could happen with that. I didn't tell them to go make amends. I'm not in a position to tell them not to make amends. But I made it really clear on what could happen when we do stuff like that. And why were we doing these amends? Was it just to clear up my side of the street and not worry about anyone else? Must be hard on myself, but considerate of others, my book tells me. And so the instructions I gave them were to go through our book and then sit in prayer and meditation. And the right answer will come if my house is in order. This last time through the work, I had to call up my sponsor and another teacher who lives in Colorado about this. I go through the work, and I noticed that as compared to the first time I went through the work, there were different sort of harms. In fact, I said, they weren't harms like the first time through where I stole money, I slandered, I got into serious trouble with people, I caused serious harm. It was pretty obvious the first time through the work. This third time through the work, there was nothing like that appeared to me. I worked at this really hard. Father, please reveal to me if I'm missing anything. Speak to my sponsor and this teacher from Colorado, and they said, oh, no, that's pretty much on the money. What was revealed to me was harms like this, that I wasn't able to spend time with people like I knew I should have. And so they would call me up, and I just did not have it in me, based on what was going on in my personal life, to sit with them a half hour or 45 minutes, an hour on the phone, or make the regular phone calls like I used to. I was kind of like absentee from the relationship. And that was pretty clear to me, made very clear to me. And so I had to call these people up and share with them. One gentleman and one gentleman only told me, I just need, when I asked him what I can do to make it right, says, can you please spend more time with me? I need to work with you on some disciplines, on some 11-step meditation practices. That's all I ask of you. And that's what I've been doing. Every other person that I sat with this on this approach was really okay, but what was going on? I said, you don't even have to do this. We know what's been going on in your personal life. We totally understand. 9 out of 10, the unexpected happens. I got free. And where I am currently right now is able to spend time more and more with these people and bring on newfound relationships, newfound friends that I meet in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I said last week, we have no idea. I make amends here and maybe another part of my life is cleared up. By making amends here, I have no idea where that's going to take me to. New people, new relationships, new courses of action, new awakenings. I just have no idea what happens once I make amends. It's incredible what goes on here because we're entering the world of the Spirit. Step 10, page 84. Now, right before we get to step 10, it uses some words, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, about these promises being fulfilled. And I always like to think of God, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, however it shows up, however God shows up. When he shows up and you know about it. There's an experience that happens and words fall short. When we get that experience, when we get into that other place. It says this thought on page 84 brings us to step 10. And the thought we're talking about here is they will always materialize if we work for them. The ninth step promises we're talking about will materialize if we work with them. Based on that thought, we're brought to step 10. We don't will ourselves into this place. We get taken there. We're brought there. Back in chapter 2, Gnostics, it says, that this book will enable me to find the power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. This book will take me to a God which will solve my problem. This book will take me to a God which will do for me what I can never do for myself. I get moved. There's a shift in consciousness that happens as we move along, as we continue to wake up. And so we're brought to this place called step 10. We're about to look at a page and a half of incredible spiritual information and instructions and a whole lot of promises. Some action words we look at in step 10, really important here. Remember, my book said only in step 5 we take an hour, and that was to review the first 5 proposals, do some meditation. Right? Step 10 tells me words like continue, vigorously, commenced, grow, turn, next, must go further, watch, at once, way of living. Sadly, we hear, well, these are the maintenance steps. Like we don't do anything. But my book is about to tell me that our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. It has nothing to do with just hanging around and kind of like tending to it at all. Taking care of this experience that we have is by growing in understanding and effectiveness, by writing inventory, by working my 11-step disciplines. It says, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. I can see how step 10 will allow me to work 4 through 9 each and every day. We vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. So as we clean up our amends, actively clean up our amends, not just talk about them, but work on them and go do them. Showing up with a spirit of willingness and then go knocking on doors, writing letters, making phone calls, direct approaches. As we clean up the past, we begin to have an experience with the world of the spirit. Great promise. Great information. It says we have entered the world of the spirit. Once we enter the world of the spirit, we don't get free room and board to hang out. We have something that we need to do here. What we're supposed to do with 10 and 11? What is my job now that I've entered the world of the spirit? What do I do, Father? What are you going to tell me? Grow in understanding and effectiveness. It says our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. This is something I will be doing forever. I go through to work again. And I, like I said earlier, I can still use the power that I've been given in 10 and 11 to move me to go work with others in 12 and take that same power, even though it may be lessened when I feel like I need to go through to work again, to move through 1 through 9 again, always working with the 10 and 11 disciplines, though. They don't stop. I continue working with them, even though I'm going through to work again for the second time, the fifth time, the 20th time, whatever it may be. It tells me to watch for some things here. And they're not talking about, I know my triggers, certain people push my buttons, I can't go near them, or I'm going to achieve perfection. It tells me what's going to happen. what I'm supposed to do. It tells me continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. My sponsor had me work with the word watch in meditation. For a couple of months, I sat with the word watch, watch. Watch me, watch how I'm doing, watch my external conditions, how they're doing, how am I interacting with others. Those words became turned, watch, aware, observe, as I go through my day. We're in the world like a loose garment, how am I doing? I get moved to another place. Before I take the speck out of your eye, I got to take the beam out of mine first. Watching, aware, observe, what's going on. Instead of reacting more, I be. I'm able to be. Incredible spiritual principles here. Very simple directions. Watch allows me no knee-jerk reaction. And not reacting to you based on things from the past. You know why? Because I cleaned up my past. I'm made new. I stand free. It says, when these crop up, what do? We ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately, and we make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. And sometimes we can do all three of those things, and sometimes one or two will work. My practice has been, I turn to God immediately, turn, always turn, turn in order to go out, turn. Many times I'll sit and write some inventory. And there's a great debate, well, step 10 is about writing inventory. I was brought up in this thing, when I have time to write, and it's during my day, I write. I write inventory. Doesn't make me mean I'm doing it right or wrong, it's just the way I've been brought up here. Personal inventory is a list of things. So when I have an opportunity to write through my day, I will. I'll turn to prayer first, always, just to get clear and centered. And if needed, I'll write some inventory. And then I'll call up someone who knows exactly what I'm doing and say, hey, this is where I'm at. Sometimes I'll write inventory on a resentment that happens during the day or a fear I'm experiencing during the day. And by the time I start maybe my second column or answer a couple of questions, I'm pretty clear on what's going on. Made abundantly clear. I get real clear on certain things. And other times I need to pray, write, and then counsel with someone. This is what's going on. It says, after we've done this, it says, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. That is not only in Alcoholics Anonymous, that is someone I can help anywhere. I think I shared this story. I was working as a longshoreman for 23 years. I get dropped in a white-collar industry and learning that whole white-collar lingo and how to go about. I mean, it was a lot different from working on the waterfront. Had no idea how to write emails properly, and here I am, and trying to survive and keep my head above water. And there was a gentleman there who went to university and reminded me that he went to university every time I was in his company and that I didn't. And he knew what as per meant, so he was ahead of me. I had no idea what that meant. But, I started to get some really bad feelings about this gentleman. And he was intimidating me, and I would get very insecure around him. And you know what I had to do was I had to take a real good look at this and write some inventory. And so I wrote some prayer, wrote some inventory, and discussed it several times with people. And you know what happened to me? The person I turned my thoughts to help was this guy. I was able to help him with some stuff at work. Ain't that neat? Because God moved me past that, and I was able to watch where he was coming from and learned one of my four agreements on how not to take things so personally. He was operating in his dream world. Whatever attachments he had to how he had to behave was his deal, and yet I was getting caught up in someone who was sound asleep. If someone's walking around sound asleep and untreated in here or out there, why would I take what they're doing so personally? Why would I even get caught up in it rather than watch? Aware, observe, turn. And maybe I can offer some assistance because there's no more attachment to, well, if they don't like me, that makes me non-existent. If you don't like me, self-worth goes out the window. If you don't like me, how I feel or see about myself is always less than. When that stuff's removed from the picture, I'm able to be. That's some of the things that have happened with me. And I use that story because it was pretty significant in my own dramas of life. Some pretty neat stuff coming up here. It says we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. And I always like to use this for those of us who've been around here while doing this work. Am I fighting anything or anyone? We may not be fighting alcohol, but what about other areas in our life that were untreated? Attachments to others, sex, food, money, gambling, whatever it may be. Gossip. Is that stuff still existing in my life? Am I struggling with that? If I'm not cleaning up amends, I'll never get to experience truly these promises in step 10. Because what I'll be doing, I'll be sharing the language of knowledge rather than the language of experience. Experientially, I can't talk about entering the world of the Spirit because I only made one or two amends or haven't made amends at all. So what I'm doing is reciting what I heard at a meeting or what's in this book, throwing out some sound bites, sounding real profound, but I'm coming from a language of knowledge rather than the language of experience. And here's the difference. When I'm coming from the language of experience, my heart is open and I wake up. It turns into language of the heart and I can reach another drunk. We can reach another drunk. Page 68 says, God will demonstrate through me and through you what he can do. How do we do that? By reaching someone else. By getting past all their barriers, all the borders they've put up, and getting into a place that no one else can get to. We've entered the world of the Spirit. Great things happen. It says, for by this time Samuel will have returned, another promise. Back in step 2, it told me, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And by the time we get here, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity in a power greater than myself. I know it. Sanity has been restored. They're delivering the contract here. We made a deal with them and they're delivering. We were looking for sanity way back in step 2. We followed some simple rules, and now they're telling me sanity has been restored. Wholeness of mind. And the result of that is what's going to follow here. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. It just comes. Automatically, it just happens. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us. We're given a new attitude here. Remember the great fact back on page 25? They talked about that. Again, they're delivering their promise. We will see how our attitude towards liquor has been given us. And the question to consider is, how's my attitude towards other areas that were untreated before I went into this work? Without any thought or effort on our part, look what a loving God does for me. No thought or effort on our part. That shoots to hell the theory of think to drink through, because they're telling me here there's no thought. I don't need to sit down and play Russian roulette and think to drink through and not know where I may get, because page 24 says that's not going to work. They're telling me there's no thought involved here. It's just given to me. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. And at this point, we can say we're recovered. Is it possible that the 10-step promises are not discussed at many meetings because amends have not been cleaned up, so there's little or no experience with entering the world of the Spirit? This stuff that we just read, these promises come by entering the world of the Spirit and continuing to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Can I sit back? In meditation and reflection and answer yes to experientially, I've entered the world of the Spirit and I'm having things done for me that were never possible before this. Can I go to a meeting and share from place of experience about what it is to live in the world of the Spirit. Is it a language of knowledge or a language of experience? What I have found out is I write inventory when I can with step 10. It's way beyond continuing to take personal inventory and the amends part when we were wrong, promptly admitted. It's so much way beyond that. Because it's going to move us into our 11-step practice. One of the instructions I was given was work with the prayer and take into meditation. Father, show me what it would be like to cease fighting anything or anyone. What's that like? Page 85 continues and said, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So there's a condition on this. Okay, if I'm doing this deal, I'll be placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I don't have to swear off liquor. I don't have to run away from it. I'm in a position of neutrality. It's here. I'm there. So be it. It says, here's a warning. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action, which is the first 164 pages in my book, and rest on our laurels. I had to look up the word laurels, and it meant accomplishments, things I did, accomplishments I've achieved, okay, good things I've done. So it's easy to rest on that stuff. Well, you know, I did this. I sponsored people. I had a spiritual experience. I spoke at a particular meeting. I'm sober this long. Whatever it is. And rest on that. My book is really clear here. It says we're headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol is a subtle foe, and I had to look up subtle and foe, and subtle was a sly, clever, devious, difficult to detect. And foe is my personal enemy. Great words for alcoholism that is cunning, baffling, powerful, and patient. It will not tell me when I'm resting on my laurels that I'm resting on my laurels. It will tell me you're doing great. You wrote inventory last week. You'll make amends when you get around to it. You'll sit in prayer and meditation tomorrow. But there's other things going on right now that are more important, like spending time with God. How do I develop this relationship with this power that continually gives to me? I just fall asleep to it. I mean, my God didn't say, well, you didn't pray and meditate today, so therefore I'm going to give you a hell of a hard day. No, I just fall asleep to this power. I want to develop a relationship with this God. How much time am I spending with it? I want to develop a relationship with one of you. I need to spend some time with one of you, whether it be on the phone, after a meeting, breaking bread, however it may be, and develop a relationship and able to ante up and share some very personal things, as you will with me. And then there's a friendship. Then it becomes intimate. Well, how am I doing with my God? Who's keeping me sober? And I say it's the most important relationship in my life. Well, how am I treating it? How am I doing with it? How much time am I spending with it? How many things am I turning to it? And do I think I can, like, sneak something by God like he won't know about it? I'll tell my sponsor, but God doesn't need to know. I did that. God won't see me doing this. It says we are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. And there's a must word. One of the things I had to do first time through this work was look up how many must words I found in the first portion of this book. Must words show up many, many times, things I must do, things I need to do. It says, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And every day, and I'd like you to underline this, every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities, into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And that is a great prayer to work with. Father, show me how to go through the day from upon awakening till I retire at night on how to carry the vision of your will into all my activities, not the ones that are convenient for me. Not just the ones at the AA meeting where I offer a cup of coffee or a chair to someone, and when I'm on the highway, no one's getting in to another lane. I'm at the grocery store, I'm with my family, you know, things like that. How am I doing? How am I doing currently? How am I doing with that stuff? Am I carrying the vision of God's will into all my activities? There's a topic to throw out at an AA meeting. What's it like carrying a vision of God's will into all our activities? Not including a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. With me? It says, these are thoughts which must go with me constantly upon awakening till I retire at night. And when I use the word watch, I can see that stuff. How am I doing? Aware. How am I doing? Observe. How am I doing? Turning in. The need for meditating on these words so they become a working part of my life. It says we can exercise our willpower along this line if we all we wish it is the proper use of the will. And suddenly, they're telling me that I can use willpower. Well, that's time to stop and let's think about that for a minute. What are they telling me? It's not about willpower and Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not about willpower and Alcoholics Anonymous. And then they're telling me here, I can use this. The condition. If it's along the line of God's will, another thing to work with. Am I demonstrating proper use of the will in all my affairs from the time I wake up in the morning until the time I retire at night? Is my will aligned with along the will of God's? How am I doing with that? Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from God, from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, that's a turn to a question, have I? We have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. Question to sit with. How often am I aware, upon awakening to retire at night, how often am I aware of the sense of God's Spirit flowing into me and out to others? Carrying a vision of His will into all my activities. I need the God's Spirit moving in me like an aqueduct, in and through me, out to you. Not something I can just hold on to, but constantly flowing from me to you, from me to you, and giving away. It says, to some extent, we have become God conscious. There's a shift in consciousness here. Great promise. It says, we have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. So we have something now that's beyond our five senses, which we came into this world with. We developed this vital sixth sense, a place of going from known to unknown. What's that like? Relying on this vital sixth sense. This is truly world of the Spirit. This is something I never encountered until I got into Alcoholics Anonymous and got free. Back in step five, they have some promises for us how we'll be walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. Where we may have had spiritual beliefs, we now begin to have a spiritual experience. And they're telling me here, in a 10-step promises, how I've entered the world of the Spirit. I begin to sense the flow of His Spirit into me. I developed this vital sixth sense. They're delivering the promise they made way back when. For me, back in step five, those things may have been the infancy of them, but they were there nonetheless. And here I am in step 10, and I'm starting to experience this stuff. So important not to rest on laurels, because we can lose power and have ego reemerge, as it usually does anyway, and stop and get stuck. And here comes another wall. Rather than getting that feeling deep down here that it's time to go through the work and taking some of that power and going through the work again, this is indeed the miraculous, what's going on. 1.5 pages of incredible, amazing spiritual information and instructions on what we can do. Now, based on my track record, when I got separated in 1988, this was something that was foreign I couldn't even comprehend or fathom any of this stuff happening to me, but it's done for me. The thing about waking up and having a spiritual experience is I can't will it. I'm going to be spiritual by Thursday morning. I'm going to be a spiritual guru. I'm going to have an experience. It's done for me. I'm taken through by following some simple rules. Again, God will demonstrate through me what He can do. I just want to get into some mechanics here, just for a second, about writing inventory, which I do. And if you don't, and you just use the instructions to go through your day, that's fine. My experience has been, that's all I can talk about, is when I have an opportunity to write some inventory throughout my day, I will, as I will write at night also. What do? I'm going through my day, and I'm taking all these principles, and I'm watching aware, observe, turning. And I have something on the horizon. For example, I have a job interview. I don't, but let's say I did have a job interview tomorrow. Or I need to see a medical doctor. My biggest fears were getting blood drawn from my arm and going to a dentist. Need to go someplace that I'm very uncomfortable about. Need to visit some relatives that I'm not too thrilled about seeing, and that's in the future. Well, what do I do with that stuff? And I remember having an experience of going to a dentist's office and have an awful time while I was there. And I told my sponsor about it. And he says, well, next time, why don't we write some inventory, discuss it, turn to your Heavenly Father before you get there and see exactly what's going on. And so one of the tools I use with this 10-step is when I know something's on the horizon, I will turn to God, write some inventory on the fear, the projection that I'm having an experience with. Well, how about that internal dialogue we get when we're going to go see someone that we're not too thrilled about seeing, that internal dialogue that goes on, that assassinating of the character? Why do I need to wait to get there and see what happens when I can maybe just write some 4-column inventory, write some fear inventory, get clear on a couple of things, sit down and discuss it with someone, get past that, and go suit up and show up and be the best example of this book? I had an experience with a relative that they had tried Alcoholics Anonymous for years. This one gentleman was a terrific guy when he was sober, but just not someone you want to be around when he was drinking. And he was one of us and couldn't see it. And I had to go to this affair and knew he was going to be there, and it kind of started because I knew he was going to be drinking, and this internal dialogue was going to go on. Well, he's going to say this, and I'm probably going to say that, and here we go, and I'm turning. And you know what? I wrote some inventory. And then after making some prayer, and I discussed it with the sponsor, and I suit up and I show up. And this guy shows up to me, lit up, slurring, his usual arrogance, with a beer in one hand and a drink in the other, and says, Pete, I need you to talk to my nephew who has a drinking problem. And all I can do is just, like, laugh. I mean, what else could I do with this man? But I was not caught up in what I was fearful of getting caught up in. It has worked for me in many things, job interviews, visits to doctors, whatever. If I'm experiencing some of that uneasiness, I'll turn, discuss, and write out some inventory and get clear exactly what's going on with me. What area of self is in the way? The third column, 7 areas of self. What's in my way here? Take a look what's going on in the fourth column. How real is this? How often, what I've learned by doing this work in 10-11, how often do my perceptions of a situation, are they really what's causing me pain and suffering rather than the reality of what's going on? How often do my perceptions of a situation cause me pain and suffering rather than the reality of what's going on? My perceptions are wrong. They're off. I'm not seeing truth. Here comes fear, projection, insecurity, anger, resentment, every manifestation of self, 100 forms of fear, because my perceptions are not seeing truth. They're not seeing reality. And what I found out by sitting down, turning, writing some inventory, calling up a sponsor or someone else who's on this path, whose work has allowed me to call up prospects. There was a time where I'd never call up a prospect and share some inventory because I'm the sponsor and they're not. What ego is that? How do I kill myself with statements like that? Call up a prospect, say, here's what's going on. And I get to see truth. I get to see reality. How do I get to see truth? Well, I discussed weeks ago by having stuff removed. Self is out of the way. And maybe I fall asleep a little bit, and I'm going to use that to overcome me. Sick mind can overcome a sick mind. So if I'm falling asleep in a certain area, I need counsel with others. Even if I show up with an inventory that may not be on the money, but that's what I'll do after turning, all the time. Thank God I've not ever been able to walk away from that. I try to write down some of my experiences because they've just been, this work has been very profound for me on a personal level, what's done for me, coming from literally living in the streets and dying of alcoholism to having experiences that have been given to me. And I get excited about this stuff, and I don't want to miss a beat with any of you guys. I don't want to, like, leave out anything. And so before here, like every week, I ask God to just demonstrate through me and let me carry a message from my experiences. One of the great things I found in writing inventory and working with my 11-step practices, kind of a lot of opposites. I found out how depressed and sad I was once I was able to experience some joy. I found out how angry I was once I was able to experience some love. I found out how lonely I really was until I was able to experience you. I found out how greedy I was until I was able to experience some okayness with what I had and able to give away. Pretty neat stuff that comes from doing this. Pretty neat. I was sound asleep to that stuff for a long time, and all they do is ask me to follow a few simple rules, and I wake up. And truth is given to me because removed. Things have been removed over and over and over again. And then it's really clear to me about this most important relationship in my life is this loving God. How do I get to you? How do I get closer to you? How do I get more integrated? How do I wake up to you? Because I love the experience, and what's great is I can sit with another drunk and pass on a whole truckload more of new experiences that may save someone's life, because God's going to work through me. Now, if I didn't say that, that would be false humility. That'd be dishonest. But God's going to work through me. God's going to work through you. We don't know who's showing up at a door. We better be on with the facts. But what great joy in having this experience. And what are we asked to do? Follow some simple rules. The alternative is, if you can turn back to being untreated, is untreated. Because there's times where I've said, I'm not writing inventory. I don't want to pray. And God ain't listening. And I couldn't. I had to write inventory, turn to prayer, even though sometimes it was just words because I didn't think he was listening to me, but the action was taken. And we will hit in this work with 10 and 11 some dry spots. We will hit that desert. I have many times. And all we have to do is continue to plow the field and plant, and God will do the growing. I have found many times it's for a reason that I'm still, that I'm not having these profound experiences in a meditation or by writing inventory. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing and carrying a vision of God's will into all my activities and experiencing these 10-step promises, but it's dry. And I think I'm doing something wrong. I'm falling short. I just keep working with it. Just keep working with it. And then God says, okay, it's time. Because what I hope to get into when we get into 11, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do it this probably next week, is talk to you about some of the experiences I've been given in meditation. And I didn't ask for them. Profound experiences with meditation, and I swear to you, not lip service, have changed really the course of my life. Towards this power, towards what goes on in here. And if anyone's new or doing this work for the first time or is in here a while and is got that white knuckle stuff going on, I can promise you, I can swear to you, indeed the miraculous will happen for you. This isn't only for me, Pete Marinelli, or some other person who's going to come in here next time and go through this book. God's giving. Vision for you. Chapter called A Vision for You. It's a vision for you. It's a vision for me. And God walks with me in anything I want to take on. Want to try a new career? God's going with me. It's a vision for me. I want to try some new meditation experience. God's going to go with me. It's a vision for me. Not like, okay, let me hang around and see what God's got for me. Well, that's okay, but how long am I going to sit by the sideline when God's saying, I'm ready? Take my hand and let's go. Great stuff to wake up to. Great stuff to wake up to. I found out by doing this work, we talk about the noise in the head, noise of the external world. It follows us right into meditation, follows us into our daily affairs, and then we get quiet one day. And it was when I got quiet, I realized how attached to noise I was, how much noise owned me when I thought I was silent. I experienced a place of meditation, something called, I heard someone else use it, I had no clue what they were talking about until it happened to me, and I could talk about it from experience, a place of nothingness. God's everything, God's nothing. God exists in nothingness, and it's great. Because there's nothing going on. There's no before, no later on. It's nothing. Total silence, still integrated with the power. And I'll share this. This happened to me. It's happened to me, but recently, as a couple of days ago, I was in meditation, which turned out to be about 45-minute meditation. One day I thought I was in meditation for just a few minutes. And then there was a part where I realized I've been really in a place of there was nothing going on. Total stillness. It was like three parts. As I went into meditation with a lot of traffic. And the other side of it was I experienced absolutely nothing. I thought it was just a few minutes. And I was in there most of the time. When I got done, I felt like so much freer and so much lighter and more useful to those around me. It isn't about just sitting on the sideline while I'm a meditative person and I can't get involved with anything because it may ruin my serenity. Nonsense. We walk right into a storm. Peacemakers seek disturbance. We go right in there. A spiritual warrior goes through pain, goes to change, embraces that stuff, and we walk through still. That's the real litmus test, how we're doing while the storm's around us. Because they're going to happen. I've experienced this past year has been a spectacular upheaval in my personal life. I came out with a few scratches, got moved through it, held on real tight a few times, got moved through it. How am I doing? Don't drink and go to meetings. Are you kidding me? You with me? I just want to close with something, and we'll throw it out to questions or comments. I do a lot of work outside of AA along with, not instead of. It's from a book I work with. It says, relinquish your envy, let go of your desire to triumph over others. Instead, try to benefit them with kindness, with courage, and confident that in doing so, you are sure to meet with success. Welcome others with a smile. Treat everyone as if they were a close friend. If you cannot, for whatever reason, be of help to others, at least don't harm them. Consider yourself a tourist. Think of the world as it is seen from space, so small and insignificant, yet so beautiful. Could there really be anything to be gained from harming others during our stay here? It is not preferable and more reasonable to relax and enjoy ourselves quietly, just as if we were visiting a different neighborhood. Therefore, if in the midst of your enjoyment of the world you have a moment, try to help in however small a way those who are downtrodden, those who are for whatever reason cannot help themselves. Try not to turn away from those whose appearance is disturbing. And I thought of the brand new drunk who walks in here beaten to hell. Try not to turn away from those whose appearance is disturbing, from the ragged and unwell. Try never to think of them as inferior to yourself. If you can, try not even to think of yourself as better than the humblest beggar. You will look the same in your grave. To close with, I would like to share a short prayer, which gives me great inspiration in my quest to benefit others. And he writes out this prayer, which is just very touching for me, and I work with this prayer. May it become at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection. a guide for those who have lost their way, a ship for those with oceans to cross, a bridge for those with rivers to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those without light, a place of refuge for those who lack shelter, and a servant to all in need. Thanks for listening. Any questions or comments? Hi. I'm sorry? How do I handle a 12-step call? I would love to save that for our 12-step meeting, but a lot of it has to depend on the person I'm paying a call to. If it's just a cold call, like I get a call from someone say, we need to go get a drunk, I get quiet, and then I go. There's some guiding principles I'll take into that. How drunk are they? Are they willing to stop? Where are they? Do they need a hospital? I won't go alone. I've walked into situations alone that became violent. You don't know what you're going into. But I will always go on one. I've been on just many. I've taken guys to rehabs right out of one of these flea bag motels. I've gone to the Lower East Side to get guys. I've gone to a whole hotel room. Recently, we took a guy to a rehab 3 times in 24 hours, signed himself out. And the last time he got violent with his wife. So the message I'm going to bring doesn't change. The delivery may change depending on the prospect. I had a guy sitting in the back seat of my car with a friend next to me. He insisted on driving. It was 3 sheets to the wind. He wanted to drive and stop for dinner on the way to rehab. And he was persistent. And so I had to play the loud boss to him. I let him know there was one boss in the car, and it wasn't him. There's been times where it's been very easy, where guys are just broken down, and you just take them. Walk into a house, 12-step call. The house looks like a drunk. The wife's scared to death. The kids are scared to death. And you got to take this. And I do the best I can with someone else. The delivery on that drunk will change depending on the drunk. Go back to that same house, by the way, in a couple of months, and they take to this work. Not only is the wife whistling or singing a tune and having dinner prepared or able to go out and work and come home with a clear head, and the kids are in a different place, and so are the pets, the house also looks different. The house becomes a spiritual thing now rather than something consumed with alcoholism. So there's many approaches I've used on how even to hook a drunk. And I'll be honest, I hate that term hook a drunk, but that's one I can think of. How to hook a drunk, how to bait them. Where they can say, well, what did you do? I work with drunks where I cornered them. Took away every option they were trying to throw them because I know the deal. We know the deal. We know what we were on the other side of the table. I can't because, or I'll do it later, and every game they'll throw at me, I'm prepared, I'm on with the facts. And I'll just corner them, I'll get them painted into a corner. Okay? 12-step call. We don't hear about enough of them in Alcoholics Anonymous. Rehabs took a lot of that away from us. And we get spiritual giants coming into, you know, after 28 days of rehab, coming into AA, want to talk about their feelings because rehabs are, well, let me be still. Anyone else in the back? Yes. Yes. Tremendous book. I do along with, I work with that, Lord. I was working with that book for about a year. I read through the book. I call my sponsors. I'm done. What do I do next? He says, keep working with it. It's part of your practice now. Have an experience with it because I was using language of knowledge. And I work with that book. I work with that book. I work with that book. And little by slowly, it becomes part of who I be. Along with not instead of. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Hi. That's a great question. That's a great question. First thing I always like to ask someone is, how are they doing with the rest of their practice? How much time are they giving to prayer? How is the nightly review doing? So the book gives us the night review and then the morning. Sometimes if I have morning noise, it's because I'm still carrying yesterday into this morning. I got that emotional hangover, if you will. How much stuff am I carrying into my morning practice? So certain things we need to take a look at and consider. If we're working with all that and I still get noise, I used to get really fearful, like I'm doing something wrong. There's lots of books on meditation. One of the practices I work with is, if I'm attached to something that's going on outside of me, I don't fight it. Because what we do in trying to experience some peace, in trying to experience some stillness, we create struggle in trying to do that. In that wrestling, I can't think about this. I got to come back. I need to be still. I'm in meditation. I need to be spiritual. And we're struggling for a half hour, and we're exhausted. So what I do is I go with it, and just bring it back. How much reality is in this? I go with it, and just bring it back. Am I in any immediate danger right now? Right now, here as I speak, with all the things that are going on, am I in any immediate danger right now? The answer is always no, because now is perfect. So I'll go with it and bring it back. I'll go with it and go, you hear a fire truck go down a block, you go with it, right? You're in the middle, you hear, there's that dog barking again. Don't fight it, go with it, and come back. Work with the mantra, work with the prayer. Something that you can sit with. A word, Our Father, that takes me back. Our Father takes me back. All the time. Many, many tremendous techniques. Okay. Hi.
I'm Mario. Peter, at what point do you decide to go to the work again, or do you decide to do a really intensive, rather large test that will help you get back on the wheel?
It's decided for me, first of all. I will get, like I did the second time, something that goes off in me, deep down in here, it's time to do this again. And there's a little window that opens. And what I do with that is, I've learned just to sit with that for a couple of days in meditation. Is it my ego that's saying, we need to go through the work again so I can go back to a meeting and say, well, I'm one of those guys who've gone through the work 30 times, so let me do a workshop. Or is it God guiding me? That sixth sense, that quiet voice. So that's what I sit with. What I start to experience was, as disciplined as I am and was, I start to experience some things that I felt were uncomfortable, some dis-ease and discomfort with the work, by doing work in my personal life. For example, I found myself becoming intolerant of certain things that I was tolerant of. I start to experience more fear than I had experienced before. In my mind, the internal dialogue was, I start to fight with others in my mind, the internal dialogue. You know, when people say, boy, you seem angry today. I was told, you appear a little edgy today. All these were pointers that something was going on, and what was happening, I was starting to flatline, and ego was starting to do my thinking for me. Ego was operating, the reemergence of ego. Going through the work, so I hit this wall, and I try to fight through it, like I was just telling this gentleman not to do. Right? I was trying to fight through it, and a great teacher told me, you don't need to fight through it. You'd be taken past it. And so I sat and I began. And the timing, God's timing is perfect, because my current sponsor shows up from Texas to do one of these workshops. And I've been praying, Father, I need a new teacher. He shows up. I show up to him and he says, I've been waiting for you. Going through the work again, for me, has been current stuff. Where am I currently? what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. We don't hear enough of what it's like now. Currently, putting a spotlight on now, current inventory. Things from my past that showed up on other inventory showed up again. But it's about a focus on where I am right now, fourth, fifth inventory, and where I am now. And you'll be surprised what shows up. Current agnosticism, because of a lot of self-reliance, which means I'm experiencing fear, but my ego is not going to tell me that. We go from, well, I'm having a little experience with fear, to living in fear, and next thing I know, I'm integrated with page 52. The bedevilments are running the show. This illness won't want me to go through the work again, and it's going to fight not to, because that means it's going to die some more. Self is going to die, and it's going to convince you not to. So if you're getting that, pay attention to it. Take into meditation. And if you're still with that, like with me, after a couple of days, begin. Get rocketed into 10-11 again. Oh, baby.
Well, unless there's any more questions, I think that's a good point to finish here. And thank Peter again for sharing his experience. And we have a nice week closing. Next week...